Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son who took upon himself our sin, who bore the wrath that rightly belonged to us. At the blood of his cross, we are reconciled to you and anticipate the coming glory of your heavenly kingdom. And so I pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was an age of wisdom. It was an age of foolishness. It was an epoch of belief. It was an epoch of incredulity. It was a season of light. It was a season of darkness. It was a season of spring of hope. It was of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going to heaven. We were all going the opposite way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil in the superlative degree of comparison only. Some of you might know that that first opening sentence comes from Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities, which marked the backdrop of the French Revolution in 1775. It was indeed a time of good times and bad times, the theme of which between Paris and London, with the aristocracy on one side and the common people on the other. And interspersed was love in the background of complete despair. And so I open up by saying, we are living in interesting times. It seems that wherever we look, there is disorder in the world, whether it be our economy, our natural resources, terrorism, political clashes, and violence. This past week, we grieved the loss of life once again to violence in a school. And as we near the end of Lent, we grieve these catastrophes. And in our grief and self-evaluation, we rightly say, Lord, have mercy upon us. Yet our faith is not an empty one. It reminds us to look with anticipation for hope. We pray for our world to heal. But more importantly, we look for the coming of our King and Savior, Jesus, who is our hope and redemption. Our reading of Matthew tells us of this hope, the one who is riding in Jerusalem on a donkey. The Messiah, God's anointed, to the throngs of Hosanna, to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means God save us. There's no singing of hallelujah. It's not really a song of praise. It's God, we beg you, help us. Hosanna. But have you ever wondered how it could be that those who are saying this to Jesus, laying down palm branches before him, like the king he is, crying out Hosanna, to suddenly scream, crucify him? How the crowds chose a criminal over a king. How can it go from exuberance to utter madness? You know, the more I read this story, whether it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, I think I get an idea of what changed their minds. And I also wonder, could this be the way that I think too? Let me explain. We know that Rome and the Jewish elite worked the backs of the common people. They hailed Jesus as the one they believed to establish a new order by supplanting Rome's occupation, to remove the power of their oppressors, to balance the scales. Some in our modern world see Jesus today as they did in the first century, a liberator of sorts, championing their cause by means of violence and intimidation. But is this Jesus the Christ? Turn to your Bibles with me to Matthew 27, and we'll be looking at verses 15 to 26. Matthew 27, 15 to 26. So by this time, Jesus had shared his final meal with his disciples, arrested by the Jewish leaders, and sent before Caiaphas, and delivered to Pilate to be tried as an insurrectionist. The Jews could not hold Jesus on charges of blasphemy, which is what he was accused of. The Romans, however, did not care about the Jewish God to make claim for punishment for that. So the religious leaders manufactured a plot to have Jesus killed by convincing Pilate that Jesus was a threat to Rome. Now it says that at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd a prisoner before the Passover. In Matthew's gospel, Pilate gives the crowd a choice. Do they want the notorious prisoner called Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? Now Barabbas is a known murderer and indeed caused insurrection against Rome. He is a person known to stir up trouble. Barabbas, as the scriptures say, was a notorious person, a warrior like Joshua. And we know Joshua of the Old Testament was a warrior following the death of Moses. Several scholars suggest that Barabbas belonged to one of the militant groups like the Zealots or the Sicarii, who are called the Daggermen. And their way of liberation, of combating injustice, was by means of violence. There was no question about his guilt. Then the text turns to Jesus. He was delivered up to Pilate, not because of any crime he committed, but because of envy. Jesus, it seems, was too popular for his own good. Can you imagine if the religious leaders of that time lost their place of power to Jesus? What would happen to them? This was the threat Jesus had caused. Jesus was drawing large crowds. He was being hailed as the one who would restore Israel. Pilate's wife had a dream that caused so much distress, she told Pilate to have nothing to do with this righteous man. You know, in Roman culture, dreams were taken seriously. They were omens. She knew that there was something peculiar about Jesus that troubled her, and she wanted her husband to have nothing to do with him. This and the surmounting pressure from the crowd put Pilate in a very sticky situation. He's unwilling to charge him with a crime, but he is now up against an unruly mob who have been persuaded to choose Barabbas for release. Pilate again says, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" You get a sense that Pilate is struggling here. Jesus refused to defend himself, and he put a known criminal, Barabbas, up against an innocent man, perhaps appealing to their conscience that the easy choice, what the easy choice ought to be. But the crowd responded, "Give us Barabbas." Now I want you to think about this situation. Who would you choose? Many of you might say, "Well, Jesus, of course." But which Jesus? You see, the notorious criminal Barabbas had a more concise name. In Matthew's gospel, his name was Jesus Barabbas. His name in Hebrew means God saves, son of the Father. Jesus Christ is also God saves, Son of the Father. Who is this Jesus Barabbas? And why would the crowd choose him? Is it possible that Jesus Barabbas was a hero to the common people? Probably. Well, Jesus Barabbas won't back down from a fight. He'll take on a challenge. He'll take the religious leaders and the Roman occupiers to task, to the point of committing murder. He is the type of Jesus that many talk about today. He is the type of Jesus who looks to the traditions of his forefathers rather than the Torah, the law of God, to love neighbor as yourself. He is the type of Jesus who is willing to defend country with a weapon. He is the type of Jesus that will fight a cause that gives the illusion he is fighting for God, but he is really fighting for himself and the ideals that he believes makes for a blessed nation. What Barabbas failed to understand, and many who think like him, is that it is God who blesses a nation through obedience, not through violence. Violence is the result of disobedience. Today, many are saying yes to the modern Jesus Barabbas, a Christian identity fused with American ideals. Some have called this Christian nationalism. And if indeed that's what it is gaining momentum in our American culture. But I tell you, my friends, it is far from biblical. We have fallen asleep, church. And the only way we can bring influence back into the church is through sacrificial love. The kind of love Jesus Christ, our Messiah, modeled for us by taking up his cross, not a sword. The kind of love that sees our neighbor as the one in the image of God. That doesn't mean we don't get upset or angry at injustice or death. What it does mean is that we do not fight violence with violence. Each time we choose the path of violence, the path of apathy or hatred, instead of the cross, we are saying, in a sense, crucify him. Give me Jesus Barabbas. Even Pilate questioned, what evil has he done? He believed Christ to be innocent. But the crowd chose a Jesus who would fight for them, who would kill for them. Could it be the political climate at the time had much to do with their choice of Savior? Or did they see that Christ was not bending to their will of responding to their political and social ills? When we see what's going on in our world today, violence in the name of God, or when the world witnessed the Capitol rushed by an angry crowd on January 6th, wearing Christian symbols and crosses, saying prayers as they smashed doors to get inside, done in the name of Christ. Is this the kind of sacrificial love the church ought to display to the world? Is this the love of Jesus the Christ? When Jesus was approached by the religious leaders to be arrested, and Peter drew a sword and cut off the ear of a soldier, what did Jesus say? Put your sword back in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? I don't need you to defend me, Peter. Indeed, Rome had an army, but nothing in comparison to what Jesus could have hailed from heaven to defend him. But this is the major difference between Jesus Barabbas and Jesus the Christ. Jesus Barabbas was all about his agenda to fulfill his desires as he saw fit. And it was through means of violence to achieve his end. On the other hand, Jesus Christ had a mission. He willfully yielded himself to the sovereign will of his Father. Underneath the violence, Barabbas fought injustice out of fear. Christ fought and was victorious by his cross, by his love. When Christians take the violence to act in such a way to undermine the mission of God by advocating their agenda, they are fighting under the banner of Barabbas. They are fighting out of fear, not through the sacrificial love of Christ. I want to talk a little bit about Pilate, too. Because here's another response taken that is equally problematic to the release of either Jesus. Pilate is a man who believes himself to be relieved of responsibility to take no action when he had an opportunity to do the right thing. Pilate saw the crowd as becoming more unruly, and rather than controlling the situation, he washed his hands and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." It's interesting, because in John's gospel, Pilate asked Christ, "So are you the king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am the king? For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. I bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." What does Pilate say? What is truth? What a fascinating response. Because it gets to the heart of his own way of life. And to many who want to justify their sin and wrongdoing. Well, what is truth? It's relative. To say that I am innocent by not standing up for the weak or the innocent is to question truth. But Jesus says, "Everyone who is of truth listens to my voice." Pilate knew of the guilty Jesus and the one innocent. The act of washing his hands was in effect giving Christ over to be crucified. The truth is, he let an innocent man die and let a criminal go free. So what can we take away from this? Well, we may be tempted to follow or become like Jesus Barabbas, to espouse an ideal that fits within our agenda and advance our own cause, believing that if we counter violence with violence, our voice will be heard. But I would reconsider. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." Or we can follow and become more like Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, who did nothing apart from the Father and committed his way to the mission that was before him. Jesus was victorious, not because he battled with a sword, but because he obediently did the will of his Father, which to the world may not appear manly enough or tough or espouse the American ideal. But let me say this. It is by Jesus Christ that we are saved. And it is by Jesus Christ that we have life. And it is by Jesus Christ, knowing the truth of who he is, we will be resurrected into new life. Let's pray. Lord, we pray, we follow you and led by your Holy Spirit, that when tempted to follow another Jesus, we only hear your voice and obey. Help us to be the people you have called us to be, to love as you loved us, and to bring glory to your name. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.